Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Iroquois Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
You're listening to Rabot & Co. here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Louis Rabot.
All right, welcome back at 11 o'clock hour on a Thursday edition of the show. I am Louis Rabot at Radio Louis on Twitter. You can find the station at ESPN 680, your smart speaker, your car, your cubicle. The line at Ford. However you are hanging out with us today, we appreciate you hanging out with the show. Thanks to both Ben Roberts and Rachel McLaughlin for joining us in the first hour of the show. If you ever miss part of it, you can go to ESPNLouisville.com and head to the podcast center to hear any parts of the show that you may have missed. But our annual visit, it is time to visit with Bob Roberts, formerly of the Cleveland Plain Dealer, of course, their turf rider for many years, joins us ahead of the Ohio Derby up there at Thistledown. Bob, good morning. How are you, sir?
Louis, I'm hanging in there. I'm having a hard time this week. I'm trying to solve the mystery of the races from Royal Ascot.
Good luck.
You know what
that.
I'm talking about?
I do. I have a hot take about Ascot. Are you ready for it?
Go ahead.
Okay, I just think it's just European quarter horse racing.
Yeah, well, there's 5 furlong races on the turf. They just ran a race that was a mile and a half, and they got one coming up that's 2.5 miles.
Of course they do.
I don't think that's quarter horse racing.
There you go. Bob Roberts joins us. This Ohio Derby, it is the only graded stakes left in the state of Ohio, but boy, they boosted the purse, $500,000 here. They're going to get a Preakness alum. They're going to get, obviously, a Derby and Preakness alum in the favorite in Catching Freedom. One of the questions I ask a lot around here, Bob, is with the rise of Kentucky racing as sort of the centerpiece of North American racing away from, say, California or away from places like New York, is there a chance that this actually becomes an even bigger day? Can Ohio racing benefit from Kentucky becoming that center of North American racing?
Well, it should, because if you look at the population of Ohio,
yeah,
and it's a pretty populated state. We're in like the top 10, I'm sure. I mean, we should be doing better than we do in Ohio. And I mean, as a journalist, I'm trying to look at things from all sides. When I would cover the races at what's called Belterra, it used to be River Downs.
Yep.
The atmosphere there was so different than the atmosphere in Cleveland and in Columbus, because I would think the people who go to the track there have like 1 foot in Kentucky and 1 foot in Ohio, and they really have an appreciation for the horse there. I don't think Ohio is capitalized on their closeness to Kentucky. We should be breeding better horses than we have in Ohio. I mean, hell, you got the limestone, the bluegrass. We're not that far from the bluegrass in Ohio, so we should be doing better. We should be benefiting from the Kentucky being our neighbor, but they haven't done it. I don't know why.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of this, and Bob Roberts with us from the Plain Dealer. We've seen a lot of it. I just had Rachel McLaughlin on from Horseshoe Indianapolis, and you see so much back and forth between trainers here at Churchill and there. Belterra, I do think is a recipient of, especially with the absolute surge in purses and field sizes and different things at Turfway over the winter. Obviously, so many of those jockeys and trainers can make the very easy move to Cincinnati there, keep their horses at Turfway throughout the year. So I'm hopeful that will continue to spread as the Kentucky thing continues down here.
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah. Well, kudos to Rachel. And by the way, the track announcer there, John Dooley,
yeah, he's awesome.
Be the track announcer at Thistledown. So him and I go way back. In fact, you'd appreciate this. I'm a big soccer fan,
okay. And
I would tape English soccer games. I would bring the cassette, that's how old I am, up to the track and stick it in my VCR in the press box at Thistledown. John would come down from the announcer's booth, and he would listen to the English play-by-play guys, and he would look for phrases he could incorporate into his calls at the track. And a guy would dribble the ball through opponents, and the announcer would say, "He's really in the mood today." And Dooley, the horse would jump out to a three-length lead at the eighth pole, and he would say, "That horse is really in the mood." So him and I go way back. I applaud those people who run Horseshoe Indiana because they have taken away a lot of Ohio's thunder. In other words, it's easier to go to Horseshoe Indiana than it is to go to Belterra / River Downs now. They've done a great job up there, and I'm embarrassed to say I've never been to Horseshoe Indiana, and I'm planning on going this year.
Oh, awesome. Okay, good. Well, we're doing our show up there pregame, so you'll have to come find us on the big stage, apparently. They're building a stage.
Yeah.
I had no idea. How about that? Bob Roberts with us from the Play Dealer up there in Cleveland ahead of the Ohio Derby. You know, one of the ideas that I've had for many years because of my affinity for the aforementioned Indiana Derby is just I think we should try to figure out a midsummer sort of Midwestern Triple Crown. And it doesn't have to be, you know, too much more money, but just an incentive to run horses, say, in some kind of combination of the West Virginia Derby, the Ohio Derby, the Indiana Derby, maybe out in Prairie Meadows at the Iowa Derby. Do you think that's a good idea? Do you think it's one that could get traction?
I think I wrote about it years ago. I think you could easily put three states together that actually touch each other. You could have the Ohio Derby, the Indiana Derby, and the West Virginia Derby.
Yep.
And space them out and then offer some kind of prize if you sweep all three. Maybe you get a smaller prize if you win two of the three.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that would work. That would be no problem. Just got to put out the spacing. Now, Ohio Derby is going to be this Saturday, which is, what, the 22nd?
Yep.
And then you're going to be up there. See, that's too close, so we got to move one of them already.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep. They'd probably have to move the Ohio back a little bit.
It would be great. You know what would be great? How about this? You run one Memorial Day weekend, you run one 4th of July weekend, and you run the other one Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, something
there's
like
your Triple Crown.
You
Holiday, three-state Triple Crown.
I love it. Bob Roberts with us from up there in Cleveland. But this field itself, coming up on the Ohio Derby, if people are not familiar with this race, has had some past winners that people almost certainly know of. Two Phils last year, Derby alum, goes up there for Larry Rovelli, is very dominant in the race last year. Tawny Port 2 years ago, Mascarpade, Dean Martini, IRAP, Owendale, Mo Tom, Mr. Z, who came out of the Preakness that year for Dwayne Lucas. We get another Derby and Preakness alum in Chasing Freedom. I'm probably not going to spend a ton of time handicapping the Ohio Derby because of him, Bob.
Well, I tell you what, the race does have a great history. There's been some big-time broad brush, skip trial.
There's been
skip away. There's been some big winners there. Before I handicap the race, I'll tell you my favorite.
Please.
In 1978, I was with the Cleveland Press. It's no longer in existence, but it was the afternoon paper. And the Derby was on a Saturday, and we did not have a Sunday paper, so I could linger longer and talk to the winners while the PD guy, the plain dealer guy, he had to rush off and get his story done to get it in Sunday's paper. Well, the race was won that year by a horse who shipped up from Kentucky. His name was Special Honor, and he went off at 100-1 and paid $203.20 to win. I'm talking with these good old boys from Louisville. The owners were Linda Gaston and some guy named Haynes. And they got drunk enough that they told me they made more money betting on the horse than they got from the purse. And the winner's share was $90,000, so you can imagine how much they bet.
Wow.
Huh?
That's fantastic. That horse broke his maiden in November of 1977 at Churchill Downs, won back-to-back allowance races at Oaklawn, ran third in the Arkansas Derby, ran sixth in the Bluegrass, did run in the Kentucky Derby, and then ran up there in the great, at the time, the Grade 2 Ohio Derby, and ran and won that one. So there you go.
The favorite was that year. The favorite was Believe It, who ran second and third in the Derby, and Stevie Coffin rode him. He was 30 cents on the dollar. And never picked up his feet and ended up sixth. Yeah, that was a hell of a year for me for as a reporter. And I guess two guys owned that horse. One wanted to go to the Ohio Derby. One didn't. He pouted. He stayed home in Louisville. And these other guys partied and got all the money.
You do have a fair number of interesting runners this year. Gold's Gold coming out of the Sir Barton on Preakness Day at Pimlico. Copper Tax won the Federico Tessio, which is the final prep for that Preakness Stakes. Uncle Heavy comes in, ran in both the Wood Memorial and the Preakness this year as well. Look, this is a race that people are taking very seriously, Bob. Do you worry about its future at all, or do you think because of having that Grade 3 next to it and that $500,000, they'll be okay?
It was, like you said, at one time it was a Grade 2. I worry, look, let's be blunt here. Casino companies own a lot of these racetracks now.
Yep.
And obviously they care more about the casinos than the racing. So to me, the emphasis has to be, and the people who have to take care of it and guard it and protect it are the horsemen and the breeders and perhaps the racing commission. They've got to make sure that we stay on top of this stuff in Ohio, because it could slip away. And I don't hate to see it, because look, we just lost San Francisco. Golden Gate Field just closed, right? Detroit lost racing several years ago. Boston lost Suffolk Downs a few years ago. I don't like this trend. Phoenix is going to lose Turf Paradise, apparently. These are major cities that don't have horse racing, and I don't like that.
In this field, obviously, we get Catching Freedom. He stands out both from a numbers perspective and from a class perspective. Is there another horse in here you really like?
Yes. I've been handicapping the hell out of this race, and if you look at it, the past performances, where is the speed? Everybody wants to come from off the pace, including, obviously, Catching Freedom, who rallies from mid-pack, from the back of the pack.
Yep.
I see one lone speed horse in this race, and I'm going to bet him, and he's 8-1 on the morning line. I'm going to bet the 9, Batten Down. Now, I know he's never run in a stake race. He just broke his maiden at Churchill on April 30th.
Yep.
Easily. And they thought about running him in the Belmont, and they changed their mind, and they're pointing him for the Ohio Derby. He's owned by Judmont, big boys, trained by Hall of Famer William Bill Mott. And the jock is Junior Alvarado. I think he's going to go to the front and stay there.
The interesting thing about this connection group is, and by the way, of course, Junior Alvarado, Bill Mott, they win tons of races. I always watch this part. Two things I watch on big race days outside of where jockeys usually ride. Junior Alvarado, not a normal guy at Thistledown, right? But when ownership wants to ship in a guy like him, they're taking this very seriously. If there were a race after the Ohio Derby, I would be watching to see which jockeys were sticking around to ride that race, because usually that's a giveaway too. There's no race after the Ohio Derby, but I agree with you. Junior Alvarado is not going up there by accident or because they think they have no shot.
No. I mean, Mott's not messing around. This horse, he won on April 30th. They shipped him to Saratoga.
Yep.
And he's had 4 workouts. 2 of them are bullets.
Yep.
I mean, I have a hard time getting Bill Mott right when I'm betting, because it's just the way it falls for me. But I'm betting this horse. By the way, speaking of betting, just digress for a minute.
Please.
Did you see what happened at Royal Ascot on Tuesday?
Which part?
They had a race where the race was won by 114-1 shot.
Yep.
40-1 ran second. 50-1 ran third. This may be a world's record. Take a guess at what the $2 trifecta pays.
Six. I'm going to go 6 figures.
Well, you can make a if you want a dollar, you can have a dollar, but we're going to give you the $2.
Yeah, price. I assume it's a 6-figure sum for sure.
You ready?
Yes.
$245,336.
Best game in the world, Bob.
You think some guy bet his address, and he's probably just waking up now after fainting in that race. Yeah. How about that?
That is a dress. His name's Bob Roberts. He's up there at the.
Can you imagine? Oh, I had it for a dollar for $122,000. Yeah, right. Oh, God.
The Lady Jacqueline is before it. I got to admit, I'm because it's not a graded stakes, it's not the easiest race to look up. How old is this race? Was it graded before, et cetera? I can only find about 5-6 runnings of this race.
Well, you're not that far off because it's only been run 8 times.
Okay.
They used to run the a race that day back when I was covering. It was called the Cleveland Oaks, but it went away. So this would, I guess, this would be it's for, hey, it's for $250,000.
Oh, that's right.
They're not messing around here. You got big time trainers shipping horses in, and Louis Saez picked up the mound on the one horse for Sappy Joseph Jr. Batacuda. So this is it's a nice. I always thought when I was writing, I said, man. They used to have a turf course at the Salon. They took it out. He said, if you put that turf course back in and had a filly and mare stake race for like $200,000, it would have like the stellar field of stellar fields. So there's always room for a good filly and mare stake race. And a few more good winners of this race would go on to win some graded stakes, and this would become graded.
Yeah,
it's
a
matter of time.
Yeah, I think that's right, especially since it's a rare opportunity because it is a 3-and-up race for older fillies and mares to run for $250,000, right? Eventually,
right.
You know, these guys are going to have to come back and, you know, pay attention because of what you mentioned. I mean, look, Kenny right. McPeak's got Corningstone in here. Misty Vale's in here. People probably remember her. She ran in the Biakoa, the Azaria, the Apple right. Blossom Handicap this year, frankly, right? So she's been running in super high-level company and makes a trip to Cleveland for this one. Did you have a favorite in here?
Nah, not really, but I am looking at Corningstone with the Hernandez-McPeak combo. Hey, they could pull an Oaks Derby double. They could pull an Ohio Derby Jacqueline double because they got a horse in the Ohio Derby, too, in Gould's Gold, who's coming on. So, yeah, they could have a big Saturday in Cleveland.
Who is Lady Jacqueline?
I think that's a takeoff. There is no Lady Jack.
Okay.
I think it's a takeoff on the name Jack Casino. That, you know what I mean? They just femalized the Jack thing. There is no Lady Jacqueline. There was no horse in Ohio named Lady Jacqueline that I know of. No.
Okay, you know what? I have to admit something. I hadn't thought about the Jack angle. That's actually pretty clever. I'm not going to lie. It's pretty clever. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
No, that's not bad.
Right. Uh-huh. The greatest Ohio bred ever, by the way, was, believe it or not, was trained by Kenny McPeak. Remember, and he went on to be a tremendous stallion. Harlan's Holiday.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Broke its maiden. Yeah, in the stake race at Thistledown. And Kenny McPeak was the trainer back in those days. Yeah.
Well, there you go. Bob, you know, I feel like I have to ask you about your golf game since I wanted to have you on tomorrow. And
oh, my.
And instead, you're playing golf with your grandkids. Are you at the point where your grandkids are better golfers than you are?
Oh, God, yes. Now, how about this story? I graduated from high school in 1966.
Okay.
And one of the guys moved on to Youngstown, Ohio, met a girl who had money. I think this is a story. They built a golf course called Reserve Run in suburban Youngstown. Every year, he has I can't even use the word for what it's called, for the tournament.
Okay.
And all the guys who went to high school go back and play for this. So last year, my three grandsons, I have three granddaughters, three grandsons, and one's in college, one graduated from college, and one's in high school, and I got to play a foursome with my three grandsons. And ready for this? We were 9 under par without a bogey in a scramble. And we're putting that back together, and tomorrow is the second time that I'm going to go to Youngstown with my grandsons to play in this golf thing. So I'm pretty excited, and they are better than me because one played high school golf, the other one was a high school baseball. But yeah, they're much better than me because I can hit it pretty good, but not like they can. One of those kids, believe it or not, is driving the ball 300 yards. 300.
Yeah,
are you a golfer,
that.
Louis?
A poor one. I'm more of a driving range guy. How about that?
Top golf guy.
Yeah, top golf's fine. Yeah, I don't mind top golf. Yeah, I can get into that. Yeah, for sure. That's right.
Yeah, but yeah, so that's why I couldn't do the show tomorrow. And by the way, how about three grandsons, three granddaughters? One of the boys' sisters is studying in England this summer. And my daughter, her mother, went over there, and the father, they're going to go visit her. And they go, hey, what's this Royal Ascot? I says, are you kidding? That's the big 5-day meet with the Royal They're going tomorrow. They got tickets. They're going to Royal Ascot tomorrow.
How about that? There you go. Well, you, I have good news. I replaced you with Brad Cox tomorrow.
Ah, he's a good guy. He's won this race a couple times.
Just a couple. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, there you go.
He's an incredible story of success he's had. He's a racetrack rat.
Not terribly.
Jim Rat, he's a racetrack rat.
There you go. Yeah. I'm not terribly upset about it. I'm getting many texts on the text line that we need to have you on more than once a year. When is the next time you're coming on?
Whenever there's a race you want to talk about, I'll be more than happy to talk. Because I handicap New York. I do some work for Northfield Park, the harness track.
Yeah, okay.
I put out a tip sheet every Saturday and Sunday because they have a free handicapping contest. So I put out my picks. I usually follow the NYRA track, and then in the winter I switch over to Gulfstream. So I'm around anytime you want to talk racing, Lou, because I love the game.
Done. There you go. He's Bob Roberts up there in Cleveland ahead of the Ohio Derby. Bob, we appreciate the visit every year. Let's make it more often, my friend. And good luck with the golf match tomorrow.
Louie, stay healthy, buddy, and can't stick it.
There you go. All right, Bob Roberts. All right, we'll take a break here. Thanks to him. By the way, want to thank all of our friends. I'm working on this, by the way, because it is Stephen Foster weekend next weekend. Getting together a show for next Saturday. We'll see what happens here. I was just talking with Avery in the back, trying to get something together for that. But thanks to Bob Roberts, joins us ahead of the Ohio Derby every year. I'm having trouble, Zach. I'm so biased in favor of the horses that I've seen. That I'm probably going to have to... This batten down horse, though, I did see him. Ran on that Tuesday Derby week. He's a serious horse. Been up at Saratoga. Have to look around. Jay Davis, we talk to him next.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Live from Houston, Texas, yours truly, the Mixtape Messiah. I know what time it is. It's grind time, baby. The military main, the riff is
around that corner, I'm chasing and trying to fold a whole stack. I stay on my grind when it's hot out or even colder. Yeah, you know the color denying.
You are listening to Rabeau and Co. here on ESPN 680 105.7. Now, here's Louis Rabeau.
All right, welcome back in. What a show. 11 o'clock hour here on Rabeau and Co. ESPN 680 105.7. Pushing the buttons. His name is Zach Cantrell. Very little Zach today, but we did have a great opening piece about the 18-game NFL season. Turned into a very nice back and forth with a bunch of texters. By the way, 437-9680 on the UPS Jobs text line. ESPNLouisville.com for the podcast center. If you missed Bob Roberts, Ben Roberts, or Rachel McLaughlin, you can also catch this segment with Jay Davis. He's presented by Lana Sports, L-A-N-A, LanaSports.com. Our good friends up in Indianapolis. All the ABA gear, use Jay's code ABA20. To get 20% off any purchase up there. If you don't have the red, white, and blue basketball in your man cave, in your driveway, whatever, you're missing out. Go get one right now. Lana Sports, LANASports.com. Jay Davis, good morning. Where are you in the world right now?
We are on the Chicago Skyway headed to O'Hare first to pick my mother-in-law up, and then we're going to Wisconsin for a few days.
How about that? Well, Wisconsin trip during the summer. Jay Davis with his family there on the Chicago Skyway. Is it as horrible as I remember, the Chicago Skyway?
No, it's not that bad.
Okay, how about that? All right, we'll
go. You pretty much get to go as fast as you want. You know, nobody's following the speed limit, so that makes it a little bit more fun.
The NBA Finals wraps in 5. The Celtics finish 80-21. 10 years from now, what will we remember about this NBA season?
It'll be the numbers, you know, because so the first thing I thought of, and you know, when Jaylen Brown got announced as Finals MVP, he was like 20-5 for the series. Those are very like Scottie Pippen, Tony Parker numbers, and I'm like, that guy won Finals MVP. I know he played well. but, and I'm going to sound like old man, you know, yelling at a cloud, 20-5 to me is not a finals MVP, but the way Boston plays with, you know, analytics and nothing but threes and layups, that, you know, those numbers aren't going to be that great, but, you know, they had one of the best net ratings ever. You know, they go, you know, they win 80% of their games. You know, they ran through the playoffs. They'll remember the, people will remember the numbers, but, you know, just into, they're not going to be like, oh my goodness, I remember that Jason Tatum game in the finals, or, you know, the Jaylen Brown game in the finals. It's, it, when people, what people are going to remember about this stuff is what they read off Basketball Reference.
Yeah, Jay Davis with us. At JDavis_1981 on Twitter, you can go find him up there in Detroit when he's in Detroit, not in Chicago. Can the Celtics become a dynasty, or are we done with the dynasties for a while in the NBA?
You know, their top six guys are all under contract for one more year. You know, so, you know, they can, they should probably be able to get another one, even if everybody in the East is healthy. They just have this combination of size, that size and athleticism all over the court that, you know, should still put them over the top of everybody else. But, you know, Jason Tatum's he's got a player option after next year. And I saw a report that said his next deal is going to be like $315 million. Derek White, I just saw a tweet that said Derek White's next deal is going to be about $130 million. Al Horford's up, but I think he's probably going to retire after next year. He got his ring, you know. That'll be like year 18, 19 for him. You know, it's just hard to, you know, just with injuries and, at some point, you know, they're all saying the right things about, you know, we don't care about individual things and things like that. But, you know, there's something that I can't remember if it was Pat Riley or Isaiah Thomas, you know, talked about the disease of more after you win a title. You want more minutes, you want more money, you want more shine. So if they can stay away from that, they have all of the pieces to do it. And with all of the draft picks and stuff that I think they have going forward from, you know, outstanding trades that they've made, they should be able to put a team around Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, you know, to where they'll be in contention for at least the next 5 years.
Joe Mazzulla is kind of the Joe Mazzulla is the oh no, which one is that?
It's the small one.
Oh man!
Probably tired of being in the car.
I'm already tired of being in your car too. I hate the Skyway. It is what it is.
So am I.
How good is Joe Mazzulla?
We talked about this before. He did a better job this year than last year. I think they put some better assistants around him. You know, he was better at, you know, trying to stop runs and trying to call timeouts and things like that, managing the rotation, because Boston's not very deep. You know, after Al Horford, it was a lot of Peyton Pritchard and, Sam Hauser and Luke Kornet. So, you know, managing those guys' minutes, I think he did a masterful job of that. I'm not really sure how good of a tactician he is, just because everything is, all right, drive to the lane, kick out for a three, or go for a layup.
Right.
But just, you know, managing minutes, managing guys' playing time and things like that, I think he did a great job this year.
Do you like his sort of demeanor in press conferences and that kind of stuff? Do you think he's being authentic?
I can't really say. You know, it's a little, you know, Bill Belichick,
yeah.
Belichickian, you know, to where he's not really answering questions and, you know, just kind of, you know, deferring, you know, kind of just talking his way around some of the questions. But, I mean, that stuff doesn't, you know, really matter to me. In a lot of those press conferences, you're not really going to really get what you want because,
correct,
frankly, the people in the press conferences don't ask the best questions.
The Mavs, where do they go from here? Are they the most likely team in the West to get back to the finals? Or are we looking at the Nuggets and Timberwolves and teams like that? Maybe the Thunder?
I think things just broke right for Dallas this year. You know, Oklahoma City's one big guy away. You know, Minnesota needs an the Denver-Minnesota thing, if they play in the playoffs again, it'll be interesting. Those are the three teams that I probably put above Dallas right now. The Clippers are going to be in flux. I think they're probably going to lose Paul George this year. Who knows about Phoenix and the Lakers? San Antonio is probably still a year or two away. So I would probably say I think this is Dallas. I know Luka's really, really good, but you know, just like I said, I just think everything broke right for them this year, almost like, you know, how it broke right for Miami and, you know, last year. But, yeah, there's at least Dallas to come out of the West next year.
There you go. Draft next week. We will do a preview on Tuesday for sure. Is there anything in particular you're watching for with this draft, given that every bit of what we've heard about it is, you know, it's not a great draft. It's whatever. Is there something in particular that you're watching for, though?
You know, I'm watching out for just trades, you know, people trying to get into the top five, you know, like playoff teams that are like, all right, if we get better at this particular position, you know, we can make a run next year. You know, the teams at the top, you know, Atlanta, Washington, you know, San Antonio, Detroit, they're still a ways away. But, you know, if you're a team, you know, if you're a team like, I guess I'll say the Lakers, you know, at number 17, and if they can find a way top, you know, 7 or 8 to get, you know, maybe another creator or frankly, you know, a wing, a 3-and-D guy, you know, on the wing that can come in and play 20, 25 minutes at the 2 and the 3, you know, that would help them out a lot. So more so than, you know, the top 4 guys, you know, Alex Starr, you know, Donovan Klingon. So I'm looking at, you know, who some of the fringe playoff teams is, or teams that think that, you know, if they add the right young guy that could turn them into a contender. That's what I'm interested to see, just to see, you know, see what kind of deal shake out, because this is a draft that feels like there's going to be a lot of trades.
Given their record, the fact that they still have to pay him $65 million, is Monty Williams the worst hire in NBA history?
Yes, and, you know, obviously, you know where I am. I covered that last year. I remember there's one thing that I distinctly remember about his intro.
I remember this very well. Conference. Yep.
You know, when, you know, they asked him about the money, and, you know, because when they first announced the hire, they didn't mention the money. It took until the presser, like a couple of weeks after that, where they announced the 6-year, $78.5 million. And, you know, he talked about turning the job down and then calling him back like a week or two later with this number. He said, okay, and he made it clear that the money was a big part of it. I don't think he ever wanted to take the job. Obviously, you know, I don't fault him for not turning that down.
Yep.
But, you know, this is two jobs in a world where, you know, in Phoenix, the older guys got tired of him. And in 1 year, you know, I think he's good with young guys. You know, when he got to Phoenix, that team was young, they were bad, and then they kind of took off, you know, as Devin Booker got a little older. This was a young team that, you know, he lost in less than like 6 months. So
yeah, right.
I honestly would be surprised if he ever got another head coaching job.
You don't want him for your Lakers is what I'm hearing.
No, just with the way everything's happened, and, you know, the Pistons were bad last year. They had no business going 14-68. They've had the worst record in the league 2 years. You know, I know, you know, there's a couple of young guys, but they had this mix of youth and veterans with Bogdanovich.
Yeah.
You know, Cade Cunningham playing more than he did last year. But, you know, he did some odd things. Killian Hayes isn't in the NBA anymore. Monty was playing him ahead of Jaden Ivey. You know, he was doing these all bench lineups in the fourth quarter of tight games when they're a bad team with not a lot of, you know, with not a lot of depth. So, you know, I'm not saying I hope he doesn't get another job. If I was a GM, I wouldn't hire him.
Texter, I'm sorry, but this is hilarious. I have no idea how Jay is continuing to talk. Texter, Jay Davis is in parental hell right now. Texter, Jay's kids hate this show as much as I do. Thank you, Texters. I appreciate you very much.
There's no such thing as parental hell.
I'm glad you feel that way, Jay. How was Father's Day? What'd you get?
Oh, I got this sweet outdoor cooler. You know, it's on legs. You put it on your patio. You know, it's got two sides. It's pretty deep. So I put like 6 PBRs and a fresh bottle of tequila in there. Me and my wife had some drinks on our patio. And when we get back from our trip, I'm going to mount a TV and some brick outside. So we're going to be all set out there.
Who's got it better than Jay Davis? He's presented by Lana Sports, L-A-N-A Sports .com. Jay, we got to let you go to wrap up the show. Safe trip to Chicago. Say hi to your mother-in-law for me, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, Lou.
All right, Jay, there you go. Jay Davis, we'll wrap on the NBA season. What an anticlimactic end of that NBA season. My gosh. appreciate greatness in front of you. It's one of the reasons I say it out loud, Zach, because I'm saying it to myself. Don't get bored with greatness. Don't get bored with, you know, whatever. Like him saying, you know, but Joe Mazzulla might not be a great tactician, but he's great with minutes. That's hard, too. That's not an easy thing to balance. And so it's a fun end of the season there in the NBA. But we will get into the NBA draft next week, which we will have tons of coverage here on ESPN Louisville as well. We'll make sure we get you into all of that. Reminder, it is a Wing Zone Thursday here at ESPN Louisville. Great option for lunch today. 10 boneless wings and wedges for just $9.99. You can order online, wingzone.com. Other options there on the website as well. Three area locations, Dixie Highway, of course, Poplar Level Road, and Hunsinger Lane over in... Text, you're disappointed with PBR. You know what, people? Cheap beer of choice. That's our last segment of the show. We do it next here, ESPN 680, 105.7.
Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Iroquois Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Here on ESPN 680, 105.7. Now, here's Louis Rabeau.
Soccer City tonight, 6 o'clock on our air here on ESPN 680, 105.7. Boys of Purple got it done last night, 1-0 in Pittsburgh. They'll recap that game. And a man named Benton will talk soccer. By the way, have you seen ongoing on Twitter right now, your guy Jason Entz is gatekeeping soccer today, and Lachlan McClain is crushing him for it.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Okay.
I haven't seen it, but...
You don't need to.
That's the least surprising
it's
thing.
It's such a bizarre thing, and I hope I'm not one of these people. Because if I am, I want people to tell me. 437-968 UPS Jobs text line. What? People that protect their sports when other people tune in.
Yes.
Like what we're seeing with some women's basketball folks right now with the WNBA stuff.
Yep.
It's exhausting. Just let people talk about your sport. Like if they're wrong, tell them they're wrong and tell them why. Don't tell them, hey, you haven't been watching for 5 years. You don't know. Like, that's not a good...
Okay, it's, now it's... I'm seeing the conversation.
Okay. Would you like to read Jason Entz's tweets?
I would.
Okay. Go ahead and read the Billy Joe one that started it all.
There are a few spectator sports less enjoyable than watching casual, I only watch the big tournament, American soccer fans demanding the most fundamental rules be changed. Sports only been around over 120 years and is the most watched in the world, but Billy Joe hates offside.
Billy Joe.
Billy Joe? Billy Joe Bob?
My man went to the University of Kentucky. He's making fun of Billy Joe.
Billy Joe. Billy Joe what?
Oh, what a great tweet. Does Locke have a haymaker in there? Is there one that you could read that's just fantastic?
Yeah.
Go ahead. At Locke Talk, by the way, of course.
It's the most watched in the world because other countries have no sports. All caps. That doesn't mean it can't be improved. The arrogance of hardcore soccer guy never fails to amuse me. Reminds me of my coach never makes a mistake guy. Both are just so dumb.
Is it Daniel Tosh who said soccer is popular because other countries don't have air conditioning?
Yes. You're seeing it over in England. They're freaking out because it's 78 degrees over there.
78.
Are you kidding? Are you kidding me?
That's so fantastic.
Oh, we don't have air conditioning. It's 2024. That's a you problem.
Yeah, that is a you problem. I'm with you. Man, oh, man. Zach Cantrell. I'm Louis Rabeau. We got you till noon. Bobby V after us. Roundtable at 3 o'clock today. Of course, Reds-Red Sox this weekend up in I think those games are actually in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And so Friday, Saturday, and Sunday we'll have that coverage. We will have the College World Series all weekend as well. Look for that over on 93.9. And then we will have Lou City Saturday night as well here on 680-105.
Do you think Entz would have killed me if I read his tweets in Trump voice?
Do the first one.
Oh, no, that's the better one. Come on, Locke. Yes, they do. You're smarter than this. Huge difference between improvement and let's get rid of this rule because I don't like it. One requires understanding the why. The other is knee-jerk. My coach never makes a mistake equals the data changed.
The data changed. Let's go. Oh, man. Texts are the same with some music fans that get mad if you don't like a musician the day they made their first demo, but you like them a year later. God, that's so true. I saw them when they were doing this. It's like, shut up.
I liked them back when they were playing clubs.
Yeah.
Total losers.
Billy Joe and Jim Bob. Hey, Louie, can you give me one of those stickers for my window so I quit getting chased around, man? I have to live here, too. No, I get it. No, the thing... Like the ability to bribe the police by buying one of those license plates with the shield on it,
yeah.
Or having like the FOP sticker,
yeah,
it's mafia stuff. It's okay to say all that.
It's
it is what it is.
John Goodman's birthday, one of the great roles of all time, Walter Sobchak, Big Lebowski.
Man,
he's also great in Righteous Gemstones.
You're not even mentioning Roseanne. That show's goated, man.
Yeah,
Roseanne's.
I haven't seen enough of Roseanne actually. I've seen a couple episodes, but.
I mean this, it's going to sound terrible, what I'm about to say to you.
Say it.
I think you'll understand a lot of the jokes in Roseanne.
I'm sure I will.
Just culturally, probably some of the stuff you grew up with, etc. Like, I think you'll understand Roseanne. And I mean that not negatively at all.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic show.
The only thing I know about Roseanne is when she tried to sing the national anthem and did it purposely bad.
Carl Lewis tried. She didn't.
Yeah, she did not try.
So there you go. Oh, man. 437-9680. I got the Natty Light text immediately from my buddy David, who's apparently coming to the Indiana Derby. How about that? That's going to be great. Cheap beer of choice, Natty Light. I get a couple cases when I'm on vacation and get going on it. No regrets.
Not even a letter.
Raggarts. Not even a letter. Yeah, there you go.
Raggarts.
You know I'm right when I say more Trump, more Zach Trump, please. Yes, no, I get it.
Now Entz is mad because what did I do wrong in life that I have to suffer through Alexi Lalas and Carly Lloyd on my television screen?
Alexi Lalas. My favorite was, it's when I knew soccer, like people were trying too hard, was when they would say he was the first guy to get a European professional contract and he was playing in the second division of Italian soccer.
Yeah.
And everyone made it out to be like we had arrived on the world scene in soccer.
Oh, boy.
Fellow Detroiter Alexi Lalas, how about that?
What is the ultimate ceiling for the U.S. soccer team? Like,
They've already hit it. Here's how I know that, Zach. I thought, let's go 15 years ago.
Yeah.
That by now we would be awesome. But I also thought all of the guys on the team would have last names that end in Z. Ramirez, Gutierrez, Gomez, you know, Sanchez. Like, yeah. I assumed the kids of Central American, Mexican immigrants would all move here, still play soccer, do all the darn things, and our team would be just full of guys like that, immigrant kids, whatever, and we would be awesome. Because that's what America does. We just, people show up and we're like, oh, you're good at that? Great, we're going to be good at it now too, mm-hmm. right? That's what we do, right?
Yep.
You know, Jokic and Doncic aren't playing in Serbia, they're playing in the United States. We just take those guys and we make our sports as good as we can. We take all the guys with the names that end in Z and we call it Major League Baseball.
That's right.
Right? No question, okay? I assume that would happen. It hasn't happened, which means to me it's never going to happen.
No.
And we've totally tapped out on that, I think.
Because our best athletes don't play soccer. They play real sports.
This is fantastic. And this band mentioned in this text is perfect. 437-9680. I had a buddy that loved Kings of Leon, but when they got popular, he said he didn't like them anymore because too many people liked them. It makes zero sense. I had a buddy do that with Coldplay.
Yeah. People do this all the time.
Isn't it Kings of Leon and Coldplay? Aren't they the two bands?
Yeah.
That's it, right? They're the perfect ones. That's the whole thing. Texter saying Hams is better than Natty Light, and I happen to agree.
I completely agree.
Okay, Texter, John Goodman is great in Hangover 3. The movie's terrible, but Goodman is great. Man, I gotta be honest, that's not one that I've seen.
That movie is so bad.
Texter, U.S. Soccer ceiling was in 2010 in South Africa. Man, I actually agree with that. I think, like, runs to the Elite Eight kind of thing, Zach, are the U.S.'s...
Hang the banner if we go to the
quarters. I'll be honest. I'm going to sound like Gandolfo for a second talking about UK basketball. If they just beat Mexico in their competitions here and piss off Mexicans, I'm good with it. Yeah. Like, because they care way more about soccer than we do. Yeah. Like, that's fantastic. I'm way into that.
Well, we beat, what, England in cricket recently?
Ooh, and Pakistan.
Pakistan. Yeah, and we don't know a damn thing about
Pakistan.
Cricket.
Eat it, Pakistan! Eat it! Do you know who our captain is? He's like a professor at MIT.
Of course he is.
Let's go. Yeah, I mean, that kind of stuff where we're just ruining sports for other countries. Yeah. I'm into that.
We don't want to win championships.
Yeah, no, yeah. No. Let's just ruin it for Mexico. For you. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Yes, yes.
We're not going to win it, but neither are you.
Okay, so true story. I'm in France in 2002, study abroad. And the Americans beat the Mexicans in the Sweet 16, or the round before the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
Just to go to the quarterfinals, okay?
Yeah, sure.
I'm the only American in a bar with 25 guys from, I'm not kidding, from the Monterey Institute of Technology, speaking of MIT.
Oh, boy.
It's the most uncomfortable I've ever been around a sporting event. But it was also a fantastic moment. U.S. had no business winning that game.
The only good news is you couldn't communicate with them. They wouldn't have known a damn thing you said.
What do you mean?
Oh, I thought they were not Americans.
They're from Mexico.
Yeah.
I speak Spanish, brother.
Oh, you do. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, we're in the same foreign language program in France.
Ah.
Oh, yeah. No. They were all my classmates, so they didn't kill me. But, yeah. Texter, they kicked me out of the Village Acre because I had work boots on. Don't wear your work boots in my neighborhood, sir. That's all I would say to you. Texter, question, are any of the Hangover movies good?
The first one.
Is it good?
Yes.
Okay.
First one's fantastic.
Okay. Fantastic.
Oh, yeah. It's very rewatchable.
Like A-level, like rewatchable.
When we talk about 2000s comedies, it's up there.
Wow. I don't know that I feel that way.
The
about
first
that
one's
movie.
Great.
Okay. Tyson and all that.
The other two are not so great.
Yeah.
Zach Galifianakis on an airplane?
I do like Galifianakis a lot. I like him a lot.
That's fair. He's perfect in that role.
Yeah. I'm a pro Galifianakis. God, his Between Two Ferns, just the outtakes on that show.
Yeah.
When you're together, are you sad that there isn't a sack being hackied? Like, those kinds of lines are just fantastic. If you want to cringe but smile the entire time, his interview with Hillary Clinton.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it is an all-timer. It is fantastic.
That's how Hillary Clinton should always be interviewed.
She's like, oh, I wouldn't have come on this show. And it's like, yeah, that's the point.
Uh-huh, exactly.
We lied to you about this show so you would show up. And then that's just going to make
Have you
fun
seen
of you.
Sacha Baron Cohen interview Trump?
No.
As Ali G?
God, how old is that? The Ali G interviews, man. God bless.
Ali G with Trump. Like, Trump treats him like a special needs guy. It's fantastic. Watch that after. It's so good. It's so cringe, but it's fantastic.
Texter pointing out that John Goodman in the movie Flight with Denzel might be his most underrated role. I've not seen that movie. I'm surprised there's a Denzel movie I haven't seen.
Wow.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it good?
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right, how about that? Texter, The Hangover is great. The best part of the second one is this a magic show?
Yes. Yep.
Texter, I don't feel that way either, Louie. Give me all the Major League movies for bad but great comedy. Yeah, I love those things too, man.
Major League 1 is unbelievable.
It's near perfect.
Yes.
It's near perfect.
There's not a single thing I would change about it.
Texter, the original Hangover is definitely A-level rewatchable. Okay, all right, yes. You know what? Now we'll hang out with Bourbon Country Cannabis first hour of the show tomorrow. Maybe I need a couple seltzers and watch the Hangover again.
Yes. Watch the first one.
I told you, you don't have to watch. I had to say this on air the other day, but, you know, flying back from a vacation where you're sitting in a chair for 8 hours or whatever, movies are the option, right? Mm-hmm. That's what the option is. And I watched, I got a third of the way through Anchorman. I couldn't watch it. It's just not funny anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't hold up that well.
It really doesn't. And who's the female lead in that? What's her name?
Christina Applegate.
Talking about eight-letter grades. Doing appearance-based radio here. She's very high for me.
My favorite Christina Applegate role was her with David Spade during Van down by the
She's
river.
So
and they could not stop laughing. They
so
couldn't
good,
hold
man.
It in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, she was also in Married with Children.
I know. She's just been... But she's been funny forever.
Right.
And I do not mind looking
she's
at
her. She's got some, like, MS or something.
I think she had breast cancer, right?
Something like that.
She was very sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, very, very sick. Texas, Zach Galifianakis, Robert Downey Jr. were great together in Due Date. See, these are movies... I don't watch enough movies, man.
You've That's never seen Due Date?
I don't know that I've heard of it.
Oh, it's good.
See, this is where I just...
It's
I
not
have
the Hangover, but it's good.
I have these very broad sort of... you know, I don't... I feel like either I've seen a lot of movies or I just don't even hear about them. Due Date. Is it about a birth? I mean, I hate to do that. I mean, like, I assume.
Pretty much.
Okay. All right. Okay. Texter, I was literally going to send the same text about Goodman in the movie Flight. Surely you all mentioned The Big Lebowski with Goodman. Oh, for
of
sure.
Course.
That's how it started. That's how Zach started this conversation. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's sure. One of the most iconic movies of the 90s.
Do you know Lebowski Fest? Do you know of it?
No.
It's based here in Louisville.
Wow.
Oh, we got to get you to Lebowski
Fest
now?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, hang on. We got 1 minute till Bob. All right, hang on.
Well, that's just like your opinion, man. The dude is... You talk about perfectly cast.
Hang on. Lebowski Fest. What are the actual dates? 20th annual was last year in September. So they hold it at the bowling alley next to the fairgrounds.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, there you go. Okay.
I know where that is.
And so, yeah, an executive strike and spare. Let me see if I can find the 2024 date. We'll do a remote out there.
Yeah, we will.
Okay, all right, done.
I could even dress like Walter Sobchak.
Dude, Where's My Car does not hold up. Rewatched it about a week ago, and it was that bad. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah,
Texter, John Goodman had a fantastic scene in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? That is absolutely true. Yes.
Yep.
Texter, I mentioned before, but Anchorman is the only movie I've ever walked out of. Ferrell is great in cameos and support roles, but not a fan of him as a lead. He was, because I rewatched Wedding Crashers. He's awesome in Wedding Crashers. Like, his character is perfect in that. Louis, you have 15 minutes till Bob, Texter. Bob's waiting outside. No, he's not. Texter, she's been treated for breast cancer at least once, maybe twice now.
She does have MS.
Oh,
yep.
Boy, oh, boy.
That's what I thought.
Man, what a bad
hand to be
dealt with.
She doesn't do voiceover work, or she does voiceover work, but she won't act on camera anymore because of it.
Yeah, it's too bad. Yeah, she's so many roles, memorable things with her in it. She's just fantastic. And yeah, I mean, funny and beautiful. I mean, that's not easy to do, man. It just isn't. Louis, you just said 1 minute till Bob, more like 15. Stop it, people. Stop it. Oh, the truth-telling show that is Rabeau and Co. coming to a wrap. I hear the music. Back tomorrow, Brad Cox at 11, ahead of the Ohio Derby. He's got a maiden in on Saturday at Churchill Downs that I'm going to ruin for everyone by talking about it, but we'll do that tomorrow. He's Zach. I'm Louie. We're back at 10 tomorrow. Have a great rest. Oh, by the way, horse racing happy hour tonight is going to be bonkers. 8 o'clock. We'll see you then. I'll see you back here at 10 tomorrow. Have a good day, everybody.